And in our little study of recent times here, we're seeking to remind and refresh ourselves on why we meet together like this on this particular night, in this particular way, historically, biblically. So, in the process, we have shared together that the believers are to be gathered together as often as they are gathered together, looking to God, and they are the body. Each local assembly represents God, God in his fullness, person, is everywhere at all times, and in particular, he tags and locates himself wherever the believers are gathered together in his name. So here are the believers gathered together and looking to God, and as they are assembled, when believers are together, they are to be exercised, instructed, they are to be encouraged, they are to be enlightened, they are to be edified, and that's what it's all about for God, for the body. A person can be a believer down out in the middle of somewhere, and that's fine. When the believers are gathered together as his body, as per his instructions, then they represent God in a very distinct way, and they all are gathered together representing him. When all the military men are gathered together, they are representing the military in a way that they don't do in the grocery store. So here we are, looking to God. And so believers are to be believing as a way of life. Present tense, they're to be believing. And they are to be praying. Praying is the exercise of the relationship to God, which we'll look at in a sec. And in the process of that, process of looking to God, and remember we share together the Old Testament word, pray. Moses prayed and Elijah prayed. And that's a very little Hebrew word. And it has to do with incitement, with entreaty. It has to do with calling to action, stirring up, looking to put into motion. The believer is looking for God's motion, looking to God to act, looking to receive action, looking to be in action. They're stepping from the bench onto the field. They're looking to be in action. That's the word. And the New Testament word, is to cry aloud, to pray, cry aloud. Now, that's the got your words a little bit, some of them. Now, in the process of that, so the believers looking to God are gathered together to pray. And therefore, we said last time, but here in chapter 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and in verse 17, here's the second of a wonderful command, present tense, keep on doing it. Verse 17, chapter 5, as you know, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop doing it. And believe. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. That's easy. Don't stop praying. If you want to live, don't stop believing. Believers are to be believing. Believing means you're resting down on the facts and not feeling. Don't go by feeling. We don't want to do that because feeling's going to louse us up. We start looking for feeling. And people do that, understandably, because they want to have some sense of the reality. But it isn't something that we have, it's something that you find. You find the reality of the bus going to Boston by getting on the bus and going down the highway. You don't find the reality of it sitting outside in a bench. You have to get into the bus and go, and you have the reality. But you say, I want to have the feeling on the bench of going to Boston. Well, you can't have the feeling going to Boston because you're sitting in the bench. Faith, what do you mean? Faith means you step out of yourself and realize you want a bus, and you aren't going to Boston without the bus. So faith must reach out of oneself entirely into something or someone else for something. And God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. God, I got to reach out and give you credit for who you are. That's faith. And that's faith in the facts. So if I'm trying to have feeling, which people do, if you're waiting for feeling, you won't live long enough. You won't live long enough. Your body is normally functioning quite well. Most of you look pretty healthy. You don't have any feeling. If you have feeling, something's wrong. Right? If you feel your pancreas acting up, if your pancreas acts, you're going to feel it. But when you're healthy, you don't have one drop of feeling. You go to bed, get up, and do everything without any feeling. You're resting in your body, functioning. That's what you're doing. And then you function. By faith, you function, exercising the body, assuming it's working. And you do that. So fact, faith, feeling. Now, in the light of that, believers, verse 17, pray without ceasing. And all kinds of ways we did that, all kinds of different statements we did it. So you pray without ceasing. Continue an instant in prayer. Don't ever stop praying. Over and over and over, pray, present tense, continuous. Keep on praying. So praying is an attitude. We don't come here to pray. We are praying, that's why we're here. And we're here because we're prayers. We're looking to God, and that's what we're trusting in, looking for God to outwork his will in the body, by the body, for the body, which benefits us, each one individually and collectively. So now, having said that, without noting all the different things which help us to substantiate and lock on, so here we are looking to God and praying without ceasing, etc., etc. Now, keep in mind, if you would, as we're doing that, one other place that maybe we didn't look at or could look at, you're not far away, Colossians. And Colossians chapter 4, God is going to say to the believers over and over again the information that we need to have. And in chapter 4, Colossians, and in verse 2, continue in prayer. Now that's the same verb you have in Romans 12:12. Continue instant in prayer. Now it's just continue, but it's the same verb exactly. Same verb. Continue instant in prayer. Be firm, be fixed in prayer. And do it in prayer. Continue instant in prayer. Present tense. Be doing it. Command. Be doing it. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Make sure you're doing so with thanksgiving. Always with thanksgiving. Why? Because you're looking to God. You're looking for God to do and to be who God. And God is going to be God. And therefore, God being God is going to act. That's what he does. So therefore, we're going to be very thankful, as we've shared all kinds of different ways here in the days past. In all kinds of ways he's watching over. 100 ways, 1,000 ways. We don't even know it all. All we have is one little piece, one little moment of time. That's all we have. All the other things are around us by the ton, by the many. And we have no idea whatsoever. We're quite content with our little limited view of the world and the moment and everything around us. So now, having said that, therefore God, looking to God, therefore the whole, we need to remember the whole, all of everything is to please God. We shared that together. All of it is to please God. And the word please has to do to make one inclined to satisfy somebody, to make somebody content, to comply with whatever the instructions are, to give satisfaction to somebody. That's the word please. Now, to see it at the highest level and easiest, again, over to John and chapter 6, chapter 8, I should say. John chapter 8, picking up in thought. John chapter 8, if I may, remember now, God is going to go and do what he does in a most wonderful way, and we ought to be, he's looking to be, looking and expecting you to honor, the believer to honor God, and the Lord Jesus, perfect man, did so. And in verse 28 again, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now, and he that sent me, the Father, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, he's always with me. For I do always those things that please him. And there's your little word. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's what you do. Because you please him. Now, why do that? Because after all, it makes sense to please him. Because, after all, God is the only God there is. There is no one else. Only one God. Only one Savior. Only one. Only one Shepherd. Only one God. Etc. Now, God, who else is there? Well, there isn't anybody else. So therefore, God, in the light of your creative work, and it's for your glory, your creatures, your creation, it's all about you. Is that all right? It's all about him. There is no one else. And so therefore, everything, anything and everything in all of creation, in all of God's wonderful planning and purpose, is about what? God. So God is doing this in the days of Attila the Hun. He's doing this over in the days of somebody else. God's doing what he's doing, and he's doing it. Always with a view in mind to outwork his wonderful plan and will, which he had before creation of anything. He's doing that. Now, if he started to answer each of our prayers or anyone's prayer, this one prays for the thing over here to be this. This one prays for the thing to be that. Someone else prays for it not to be. Someone else is over. God, you don't answer prayer like that. No, I don't. We think he does. I'm going to give him my prayer request. What is your prayer request? Your prayer request is for you in the light of as you see something. You pray for that and look to that. And you do it. But God, it's all about, well, what happens with the other 7 billion plus people that may be doing who knows what, where, when, how, why? God? So you can't go by our request. You can't go by our system, our needs. You got to go by your needs and what you're after. So when we're praying for all these things, we don't, would God answer my prayer? God answer your prayer about where I am. It's quite different. That's why he pleased. And we shared we went over it over and over again. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we did all the statements so you know the little word please. Please. Our prayer is to please him. So if your prayer isn't to please him, then you can say whatever you want. People do. And they do it with great enthusiasm, I should say, sometime. And they can do that. But it isn't about that. It's about pleasing God, isn't it? And we shared that in detail, so I don't need to do it again. I mean, I'll be on this forever if I keep doing it. That's what it's about. So you're looking to please God. Hang on, because you want to put the pieces together so you have the benefits. So God, here we are looking to you, and you're going to go and do in your most wonderful way in the light of answering. And for the church, in the church age, in the age of grace, we have a very, very special, especially special, because the church is his body. Not like Israel in the yesterday or coming up in the future. No, it's special. It's related, the body related to the head. So when we're praying to please him, we're looking for what? To outwork the remaining, remember, Colossians, we're to continue here, not only showing the life of the Lord Jesus, because he saves us, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we have them, and we have a relationship. And that relationship is to the head. And the head is outworking his wonderful will, showing his wonderful person, not our person, and not our needs, and not anything else. It's just showing his person. That's the New Testament. And that's what it's about. So God, here we are, and that's why the prayer meetings have all died. There's very rarely now anymore anywhere. They've all died. Why would they live? Because ultimately, if we don't keep helping ourselves to God and God help us with his word, we're going to lose it. And we don't want to lose it. We want to stay with it. So now, having said that little bit, so God, you're going to do what you're going to do. And in the process, over to Romans 8, we'll do that part again, because that's worthy of driving the nail home, and so it stays with us. Romans in chapter 8. It just makes sense what we're looking at. Well, how could he answer everyone's prayer for what they want when it's all supposed to be for him and not about us? There'd be 5,000 contradictory things. War would be all over the place. Each country would want this, each person would want that. In business, each person would want that. In my work, make me the boss. Well, there's 5,000 people in the country, and 1,000 want to be boss. And they all tell God they want to be boss. Well, only one can be boss. See? It gets very, it loses its common sense. And God doesn't do that. We do that, but God doesn't. So now, in Romans, in chapter 8 again, just reading it very quickly and slowly and thoughtfully, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, how does that show up? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We just don't know, and no, we don't know. There's nothing wrong with not knowing. There's nothing wrong with not knowing at all. In fact, the Lord will say that in James, doesn't he? You don't know what tomorrow's going to be. So when you presume that you're going to do thus and thus tomorrow, you're presuming on God. You better say, Lord willing, I'll do thus and thus tomorrow. Because you don't know that. You're presuming on God. So we don't want to do that. No, God. So we don't know what to pray for as we ought, verse 26. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us for groanings which cannot be uttered. That means there's no way to talk about them and debate them and have a dialogue, discussion. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's the Father looking to God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because he maketh intercession, because the Spirit of God is talking about the things that have to do with the will of God. And so he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so the Spirit of God is going to be doing these wonderful things to outwork God's wonderful will in a most wonderful way in their lives. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God doing that. So God, you're going to be helping. So we aren't trying to tell God anything. We're trying to get to please him, to stay in tune, stay in touch by believing and praying, looking to God, so that all things are going to come to pass as they ought to and they must. So now, on our way back, over, if you would, to Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 6. And if we can just get a handle on this kind of thing, it's going to help us immensely, because they're going to help us in living, handling life, handling problems, looking so we aren't going to go and we forget God, because God doesn't answer, God doesn't do anything, therefore we do it. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 18, praying always, present tense command, praying always with all prayer, 6 and 18. So when supplication, according to the need, in the Spirit of God, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, we're looking for God's will, for the wonderful outworking of God's glory by way of the body, in time, even until he comes. So now, having said that, just reminding ourselves, praying in the Spirit of God. That's what you're going to read, Jude 20, praying in the Spirit of God. So God, you would have to be blind. God, you say, how are we going to pray? In the Spirit of God. How are you going to pray? In the Spirit of God. That's what you're going to do. He didn't tell you to pray by your lonesome. He said, pray in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is going, looking to God by believing, prayerfully looking to God. And the Spirit of God's going to move and outwork, because you're in the right place to receive it, to understand it, to see it outwork. Now, over, if you would please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, again. And in 1 John chapter 5, may I pick up, please, in verse, and you know the wonderful statement in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, these things, that's why he wrote them, believe them, not feel them, believe them. These things have I, and understand them. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, verse 14, and this, having believed and knowing, and this is the confidence that we have in him. What is that? That if we ask anything, which he tells us, according to his will, he hears us. Not our will, not our wishes, our wants, according to his will. That's what God's going to do. We want to please him. He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, verse 15, that whatsoever we ask, we know we're asking for his will, at work, home, school, play, bus, whatever you're doing, any place, at any time you're looking for God's will, God, thank you, as you proceed down the corridor of time. Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we don't have it. You hold your hands up, see the answer to the prayer. Don't have an answer to prayer. It's being answered. It's being answered. After you've done the will of, think of Hebrews 10. After you've done the will of God. After it's happened. I'm looking for God's will to happen. So I continue the next 10 minutes, the next 20 minutes, the next 10 hours. I'm looking for God's will. Next 10 days, I'm working, looking. And God, that's what I'm looking for. And we already have it, because it's God's will. And that's what you want to do. You want to understand that and exercise that truth. That's what you want to do. Don't lose that. It didn't go away. All it is you wanted something and God's going to do it. That's what he said. You're going to keep believing and praying, looking to please God, and God's going to do these wonderful things in and for you. Over, if you would, while you're in 1 John, over to John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, picking up, if I may, You know, as we have read a thousand times, and you've read it, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God, we're saying, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Verse 8, verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. In verse 8, we deceive ourselves. So God, we're looking to you to stay. We aren't trying to answer everything, because you couldn't answer everything. If you're going to sit and try to answer all the good and bad in your life, you'll never answer it, because God said it's no good to start with. So don't even offer it to me. Don't even bother. Just enjoy the relationship prayerfully, believing, going on. That's what you do. So you don't have to sit down and figure out your old nature and all your attitudes and thinking. You go bananas doing that. And you come up with the wrong stuff. You miss out. Caught up in it. Now, so God walking. All right, walk in the light. Over to chapter 2. And in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if you tell me you're abiding in Christ, then you want to walk like he did. If you're abiding, if you're walking in the light, then we ought to be, it's obvious you're walking in the light, and you aren't trying to do anything except enjoy your wonderful relationship to God. And by his saving grace, you aren't trying to prove anything. You aren't trying to merit anything. You aren't trying to have anything. You're just going down and enjoying the trip. And you do it. And God does that for us in a most wonderful way. Chapter 3. And chapter 3, again, verse 21 of 1 John. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we just did asking, whatsoever we ask in his will, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, God, and God in the believer. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, and by his Spirit, which he hath given us. Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that real. You don't make it real. Your feelings don't make it real. God makes it real. It's real to God. Your body's real to you, even though you don't feel it. It's real to God. Thank you. By faith, looking to God. Thank you. Wow, that's right. Now, having that and keeping that in mind, so God, here's the apostles. The apostles needed to be encouraged on their, remember they were, they left their, dropped their net, they didn't get any, didn't go to the bank to get some cash, they didn't have an ATM machine anywhere, they went and didn't have an extra sandwich, they didn't have an extra pair of shoes, they didn't have an extra gown, they just went as they were, he said, follow me, boom, they dropped the net, fish or no fish, payment or no payment, off they went. Now, so as they did that, hang on now to get to the other part of this. God, how do you take care of us? Now, over to Luke. Luke in chapter 8. Luke in chapter 8, if I can. Oh, let me get there myself. And I think 8 and 28. 8 and 28, if I may. And when he saw Jesus, he cried, Luke chapter 8 and in verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." And thus, here's the demon kind of thing, and God, you've got to help me so that I don't get locked in and locked up by the enemy in the wrong way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to Luke, if I can. Sliding down. Over to chapter 22. Remember, they're going to say to him, chapter 22, and picking, stop. Here's the demon, demons missing out. Chapter 18, the believers, though, are not in that place. They have a relationship to God, and they've been trying to exercise it, and they don't have a problem with the enemy, at least at this point. Therefore, verse 28, 18 and 28 again. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." So God, listen, he tells the followers, he said, you're going to have a wonderful future, and in the meantime, I'm going to take care of everything. In the meantime, you're going to be way ahead of the game. The game being played by the world is one thing, but you're going to have a benefit because you're a believer and you're looking to me. You're going to have a benefit that the people of the world don't have, because you're going to have it. Now, hang on to that. And you're going to have that wonderful, wonderful benefit. Now, so therefore, they're to be encouraged. Chapter 22. And you'll remember in chapter 22, just in the upper room, and we shared it the other day, verse chapter 22, verse 35. Remember, he reminded them as they're getting discouraged in the midst of everything. And he said unto them, 22:35, he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse, script, shoes, lacked ye anything?" In other words, you didn't have anything. You didn't take anything. You didn't even take an extra pair of anything. Nope. Didn't have any money. Nope. Did you lack anything? And they had to say, remember we just studied this in the morning, nothing. You guys have to confess up. Did you ever have anything missing? In all of those weeks up and down the land, you had nothing. But yet you had nothing missing. Did you ever need an aspirin? Did your shoes ever wear out? Did you ever hurt your foot? Did you break your arm? Did you have enough food? Tell me what was missing. And they had to say, nothing. They had to say, confess, there's nothing missing. All right, hang on. So they're to be encouraged, even though it's hard to take it at that point. And therefore, they need to understand, they need to work and work out everything in a most wonderful way. So over to Philippians. So God, here we are looking. We aren't going to get as far as I thought, but a little bit at least. And in Philippians, and in chapter 2, you are going to recall now, remember we're looking to God. We want to please you and do the things that are pleasing in your sight and honor you, asking. So God, that's what we're looking for. Here we are. And in verse 12, as you remember, "Wherefore, as beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, without me, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, it doesn't say, and you know that all the, you think of all the little statements God will say, take heed what? Take heed unto the other guy. Remember reading that? Take heed unto yourself. You start with yourself. That's where you start. But start with yourself. Now, therefore, work out your own salvation. You can't work out anybody else's. So God, what are we trying to work out? We're working out your will for our life. As we go down the corridor of time, we're outworking that, looking for you to work, do it, and we're to be encouraged that you're able to do it. That's all there is to it. And we do it by faith, thanking you in your presence as we go down the corridor of time. Now, and verse 13, for reason we can work it out. Remember, all the reason about praying is because the Spirit of God makes it work. Without the Spirit of God, it doesn't work. Work out your own salvation. But without God, you couldn't do it, because your salvation is God. It's a person. God, therefore, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to what? To do of his good pleasure. And that's what? To do of his good pleasure. You're trying to please him, and he wants to be pleased, and is pleased to do it in your life. To what? Work out his own salvation. To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, God's wonderful will and plan for your life. And to do so in a unique and wonderful way. Over, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So we're going to do that. We understand that then. And in the process, just a little quick admonition. I don't even know if I should take time for that. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, reminding yourself and me, verse 8, don't forget, in working out, it doesn't mean you sit back in a rocking chair and let it all happen. You just said, God, it's all going to happen. No, it isn't, because you're going to work out what? Work out your own salvation. What does that mean? You're going to get out of bed, go to work, school, whatever you do. You're going to eat and drink and do what school, whatever you're doing. You're going to live. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we do, eating and drinking, whatever we do, we're to do it to the glory of God. So we're going to do it. We're carrying on. We aren't sitting back and doing nothing. No, it isn't that, doesn't mean that at all. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provoke, if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, and is worse than an infidel and unbeliever. So we can't be indifferent. We're responsible. We're responsible to do and our obligations and care for the needs of family and all those things within reason. And we're to do so. We aren't to be lazy and sloppy. We have a responsibility to do so. And God help us to do so. And in doing that, God helping us to do so, you have in chapter 6 to remind us, in chapter 6 and in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust your riches. No, be glad, be glad. Whatever you have, but in the living God, trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things for what? To enjoy. And we shared that the other day to remind yourself. You're supposed to enjoy life. That's what's supposed to be. Sin louses it up. We aren't supposed to sit and punish ourselves. We're going to be believers in the hard thing. No, that may be. You're going to have that. But in the same time, you're able to be a child of God if you know God as your Savior, and you're going to go down the corridor of time seeking to please Him. God's going to outwork His will in a most wonderful way in your life. And as you go down the corridor and outwork His will, it's going to be outworked. And in the thick and thin of it, much and little, it's all going to be there, and you have to work it out inch by inch. And you're going to be thankful in the process as it's outworked. As it works out. You go to school, make believe, you go into school and take a course or something, and you take the course, and the first week you start the course, and you can't pass the test at the final exam if you only go on 1 week. You got to finish the course. You finish the course so you can pass the test. Then you complete it. He said, finish it. Finish it. Finish it. I want my will finished. So we don't want to start and then, no, we're going to, God, we want your will for our life. And so we go down and look for it. We're wanting it. We want to please your God. That's what you want to do. You want to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship that allows you to be our Father, our God, and our Savior in a most wonderful way. So therefore, you're going to give it for us to enjoy. That's right. I want you to enjoy. I want you to enjoy it all. And in the process, over to 2 Thessalonians. We want to keep in mind 2 Thessalonians and picking up, if I can, in chapter 3, picking up in verse 8 gets the target. Neither did we eat, this is Paul giving a testimony and instruction, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In other words, they didn't say, give us, give us, give us. They earned their keep, Paul and them. They earned their keep in there, and they did it. But they did their part, tent making and all of those different things. They did it. And, verse 9, not because we have not power, that doesn't mean we couldn't have had it, as you know from 1 Corinthians 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. In other words, we don't want you to think people are going to come and you give. No, we're going to go and do our part and work at it. That's what we're going to do. And we don't want you to go that becoming a believer, you go and everyone owes you money or something. No, they don't. No, they don't. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That's pretty clear. So if you don't work at it, you don't get any food. That's all. Earn your keep. Earn your keep. That's all. Be responsible. Be responsible. In the meantime, God, you're going to work out. If I can, I guess over 1 Corinthians. We didn't get to our target, but anyway. 1 Corinthians 7. Picking up, if I may. And would you allow me, in his 1 Corinthians 7, and may I go to pick up in verse 30, a little bit of the context, 7:30, 1 Corinthians. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. In other words, remember we just read about the rich. Don't get all caught up in your riches. It doesn't mean you can't get rich. Just don't get caught up in them. That's all. Don't get caught up in them. And do it. And make believe you don't even have them. And that's what we do. We have what we don't have. It isn't important. It isn't important. If we have enough for the hamburger, good. If we don't have enough, we don't have enough. And we'll have one of those things over at the Sam's or something, where you pay $1.50 and get a hot dog and a drink. And if you got another few pennies, and ice cream. Wow, save money, see. You do what you can do. That's what you do. I'm not advertising Sam's. BJ says the same thing. No, BJ's doesn't. Costco does, right? Is it Costco? One of those places do. Anyway, when you go into the Wendy's or something, tell them you want the $1.50 bargain. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as though you don't even possess it. In other words, don't make it a big deal. Don't make it that way. And they, verse 31, and they that use to have need, the word use, someone who has a need, what is needful, what is necessary, what is useful. What is useful is a good word. What is useful? What do you need? What do you need? And they that use this world, the things for their need, as not abusing it. Abusing it means don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. Don't get caught up in it, being way overboard. Don't get caught up in using it. Just use it for your needs. But don't overdo it. Don't lose it. Because your Father knows your need. So you do what you do, eating and drinking. And if there's more of a need or other need, your Heavenly Father knoweth it and will take care of it. That's the way it is. That's what you do. Therefore, verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, overusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away, and we aren't trying to get it. We aren't trying to get everything, because you know this wonderful statements, 1 Timothy and that. You brought how much in, dear friends? And it is certain you're going to what? Take nothing out. So don't get all hung up with it, because you aren't going to have it. You aren't going to have it anyway. So no matter what you think you have, you don't have. You have possession of it for a moment, but that's all. So don't get all caught up in it in a way that loses it. So now, God, you do what you do in a most wonderful way, and you meet the need in every way. And so we'll close with just, since we said it, we'll look at it. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll go directly, if I can, to verse 30. 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if in the light of it all, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's going to do it, but you got to believe. You got to have a little faith. Therefore, take no thought, don't let your mind get divided up all over the place, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Don't you get all caught up like that. For reason, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and that's what motivates the world. They want to survive, they want to succeed, they want to have enough, you want to have friends and everything, and we want it, we're trying to get it. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And that's a wonderful thing. If you can remember when you were a child, little child, and your father, assuming everything is all right, the father would meet your need and have all those things. And the father did meet my. I think of my dad. I can use my own little thing for good or bad. And my dad had, and I got whatever I needed. But I never asked for a lot. I never did. I liked to eat, so my father had to work two jobs to make sure I had enough food on the table. I never could own a pair of skates because I didn't have enough. He didn't have enough money to buy my skates. But he always had enough for food. So you don't skate, you eat and get fat. That's what you do. God, you take care of us. My father, the father loves to take care of us. Doesn't he? I told you that about my little birds out there. I'm very concerned, not very concerned. I care about those little birds. And I have to watch squirrels and mice and stuff. But hey, I care about the birds. And I'm nobody. And I look at the little birds, and I know what? God cares about them. There's not one of those little birds that are going to fall to the ground. that my father won't be supervising. So the little bird that dies, God, my father, is going to take care of that little bird that dies. He'll have a special bird funeral for him. Wow. God cares. That's a silly thing, maybe. But you understand, a father, if we know how to give evil gifts, think of Luke, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost? How much more? Wow. So God, here we are looking to you, and we're looking, and you're looking, and God, and my God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, I'll read that, make sure that says that. All these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that a simple statement? I don't know. All these things shall be added. That's what he said. So, thank you. That's Father, we got a great Father. And we do it by faith. And we inch along, and go, as you'll see, pieces get next time, if the Lord tarries and we ever get that far, to put it together for you. Wow, God meets a need. He loves to do so. Absolutely. And sometimes we need things that we don't want we need. We don't like to have them, but God knows we need them. And sometimes God takes away in order that you might discover. God teaches us so that we would learn how to have much or little and be what? Content. And God does that because he's going to take care of your need. Say, why doesn't? You want God to take care of your need? That's what God's going to do. Now that's what you need. You want patience? You want to have joy? You want to have power? You want to have an increased faith? Increase your faith. Then you have to go through whatever it takes to get there. And God will meet the need. And that's what God does in a most awesome way.